Hey nerds, what's up? Before the podcast officially gets underway today, I think it would be negligent of us if we didn't talk about the passing of Akira Toriyama. It's super unfortunate. It was officially announced that he passed away on March 1st, this past weekend, I believe, or actually late last week it was announced officially. Really a big fucking bummer, dude. We were talking a little bit about it before we started the stream today, that he was a big deal. As you can kind of tell, half tell by my background, but Joel can attest that Dragon Ball, I would say, was a bigger deal for me than Gundam is. And that's, I want to say it's not saying a lot, but it's also, I look back at my childhood, there was Pokemon, that's, roughly Pokemon is like the technical first anime, but like going into like actual, like thinking like this is anime, like that was Dragon Ball Z for me. It stuck with me throughout all these years. I cherish it deeply. And it's honestly because of shows like Dragon Ball Z that it introduced me to things like Gundam to Cowboy Bebop because of like the Toonami block for us in America. Because that was my daily rituals. Like Pokemon would come on a little bit after school. And then when Pokemon was done, roughly like Dragon Ball Z would be coming on Toonami. And then I'd just stay for everything else afterwards because I was already in the afterglow of Dragon Ball Z and watching Goku fight Frieza for the umpteenth time. But yeah, dude, this is a real fucking bummer. Like, and the whole of like the anime community and like the manga like community was spewing out all of their admiration and appreciation for Akira Toriyama, which was fantastic. And I don't know if you saw this, Joel. Of all of the manga writers and like anime makers writing letters saying how much Akira Toriyama is the reason why they're doing what they do today.
Yep, I saw a few.
Joel, I wanted to ask you, is there any, because I know, I'm actually not too sure what your history is with Dragon Ball. I don't know. Did you watch it as a kid?
It's kind of funny. At first, I didn't get it. I was like, what's the big deal with this show? Like, it looks, honestly, it looks stupid, right? Like, I don't get it. And then one day, I don't know why, I was like, you know what, let me actually, I was bored and I was watching. I was like, oh, this is pretty damn good. And of course, it was right when Goku goes to Namek. So I got like the best point to go in and check it out. And it was really good. And it inspired so much. And I could see that now. And it was, I think I was starting to really appreciate anime, but that was like, damn, this is really cool. And like, of course, everybody knows Goku, you know? I
Oh
mean,
yeah, everybody
he's
knows Goku.
legendary, you know? And it's crazy, you know? And then, you know, I kind of fell out of it for a while. It wasn't my thing. I saw up, you know, the Android Cell, all that, a little bit of Majin Buu. And then it was like, it looks cool. I follow it here and there, but I remember you're like, you got to check out the Broly movie. I was like, you know, I'm not really into Dragon Ball Z that much anymore, but holy shit, I am so glad we watched it. It was basically this awesome nostalgia trip of going back to when I was younger, and it was just everything DBZ was to me when I was younger. So I'm glad we watched that updated Broly movie, by the way. The newer one. That was wild.
Super
So
Broly.
good. So good. Yeah.
I think it will be my proudest moment of convincing almost our entire friend group to go watch it in theaters, and then by the end of it, everybody enjoyed it, and I felt
That
so
was so
proud of
good.
my, like I felt like I could like solidify my Dragon Ball nerd card by like having everybody come watch this stupid fucking Dragon Ball movie. I mean, not stupid as in like it's stupid, but I mean it's dumb fun. But to have everybody enjoy it, and like just like looking through all of the notes and letters that from other like manga and anime artists, talking about how much he influenced what they do, it's like you sometimes forget how influential somebody is until they're gone, which is very unfortunate. But like, legitimately, if it wasn't for Dragon Ball, a lot of the anime that we look at as like the peak of anime in like the mid to late 2000s and like 2010s, like the reason why those animes are, and their creators like said it like over the weekend, it's like it's because they grew up on reading Dr. Slump and reading Dragon Ball and going looking at all of the stuff that Akira Toriyama did throughout his career and got inspired by that. So like Naruto, Bleach, you know, look at every other kind of action anime. Like there is Dragon Ball-ness like somewhere in there probably. And something
I just love seeing all the odes to it too. Also in Western media, there's like, of course, the Yamcha death pose, right? And it just showed all the references to the Yamcha death pose and stuff like that. I remember even when I was younger, there was a Johnny Bravo episode spoofing DBZ and Pokemon. I was like, oh shit, that's Vegeta. I fucking know this, but he's green, right? It's so cool. And you know what was really cool on Twitter I saw is other manga artists who drew Goku, like, but with their style of how they did it, like the creators of My Hero Academia, they had their version of Goku, you know, in their art style. So it's really cool to see the different art styles and, you know, what it means to like different communities too. And, you know, I remember this video went viral a while ago. This kid's like, I'm going to go full Super Saiyan. He's just like staring and yelling at the video at the camera. And then someone edited it with Photoshop. Like they put in particles and shit, his hair coming out. And yeah, it's wild, dude, that
like
the fact this one did so well to open the door, at least for us in America and Toonami, right? Like not just inspiring other great ones, but I'm sure it's like, oh, this one's doing well, why don't we check out this one? And for sure, like I don't think I would have checked out like Full Metal Alchemist, which was like for me like one of like holy shit, this is sick, you know, if it wasn't for things like DBZ, you know, especially like DBZ, an action anime like that.
Like I said before, it's like, yeah, Pokemon was the thing, but it's like, if you really think about it, like, if it really wasn't for shows like Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, like, and like, anime as we know, maybe would have gotten to the States or like to other countries eventually, but like, you know, this is just kind of like hypothesizing, but it's like I don't know if it would get to that point that quickly that it did in the what was it, late 90s, early 2000s,
at least 99, 98 for, I think,
like it, I remember this to this day, but I remember me and my dad were doing something, I don't remember, and then he just kind of I was like, oh yeah, it's like I remember Dragon Ball from the 80s. I'm like, if excuse the fuck me, it's like, you know about Dragon, it's like that was like, because like when you're kids, it's like we don't think our parents know shit that we are into, but it's to see how far back it goes for what Akira Toriyama has done, and it's like even like the possibility even our parents know what the fuck it is, it's like holy shit, that's wild.
And Brian's genetics, literally.
I mean, fuck.
DB.
speak of the other fucking thing that I really love, fucking Sonic the Hedgehog, who has a thing called Super Sonic, which is fucking inspired off of fucking Super Saiyan. Dragon. I was meant to love fucking Dragon Ball, dude. It's in my DNA. You're right. It's in my DNA. I live and breathe.
Yeah, literally.
But yeah, it's a little bummer Especially because I think he had a recent interview saying that he had a lot more stories to tell, which is very unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, Toyotaro, who has been his illustrator and kind of like he's the one that like works a lot on Super, on the Super manga. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, over the years of kind of being under the Learning Tree, like I hope that, you know, he knows kind of what Toriyama wanted to do. But like, even so, like Dragon Ball has lived throughout so many decades at this point. Like I cannot, I won't be surprised if like Dragon Ball exists in popular media still until like we're in our old age. And then even beyond that.
Beyond. Go beyond.
Go beyond.
A show definitely fucking inspired by TBC without a doubt.
But yeah, it's really unfortunate. You know, best wishes out to, you know, his family and to everybody else out there that is grieving right now. I'm sure a lot of people around the world are grieving right now, and mm-hmm. you know, yeah, I don't have much else to say, Joel.
Broly was sick. Android Saga was sick. Cell. The Cell fucking games were so goddamn hype. And then Trunks appearing. Oh my god. I just remember just sitting on my TV like, you know, like.
Gohan going Super Saiyan 2. Just,
I know. It's just.
Just. I need to show you guys Superhero.
Oh yeah.
We need to pick like, a weekend. I need to
watch that. Yeah.
We need to pick a weekend sometime soon. We need to watch Superhero because. If you love Super Broly, I feel like as a pure, like Akira Toriyama, like movie, like Superhero is like the epitome of what Dragon Ball is. So we need to do that.
Check it out. All right. We'll find a day.
Yeah. But, yeah. You know, hope everybody, you know, is doing all right, you know. Because I know mm-hmm. with situations like this, especially with like your childhood, it could be a lot to deal with. But just know that, you know, your fellow nerds here are always here to talk. And I'm sure a lot of people around the world are, you know, feeling it and are just kind of, you know, celebrate Akira Toriyama because he's done a lot of cool stuff and he's inspired a lot of people to do other cool stuff. So, you know, yeah. Go pop in some Dragon Ball, go read some manga, you know, and
yeah.
he will be missed.
I don't mind talking about Broly again. Shit.
Hey, yo. Welcome to the United Nerd Podcast.
Yo.
Joel, there's a lot of things we need to catch up on.
Oh, I know.
There's a lot of news we need to talk about. Mm-hmm. And speaking of news, we finally have our official date for our title match coming up this month.
Oh, yeah.
Joel has made the challenge, of course. We will talk about that before we get the news. But for right now, Joel, how have you been?
I've been good. Recently, one of my buddies who's been on the podcast, Joby, also known named Joel, he did a one-shot this past weekend. Yeah. That was pretty cool. Really enjoyable. So shout out to Joby. He's on our D&D podcast, Roundtable. So we did that. Did some homework. I've been catching up on the Avatar show. I'm on episode 6, watching with some friends. It's not bad. I can understand why people are displeased, but also for the time they have and because it's live action, I could see why some of the choices they made are there, but I've been enjoying it. I'm pretty, what's the word? Forgiving. I'm very forgiving.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, that way better than Cowboy Bebop. I still haven't seen.
that's not saying much. To no, be
I know.
Honest.
Bar was low at that, but I think I like it better than One Punch. But also, I know the Avatar world more than. I mean, not One Punch. Fucking One Piece.
Oh man.
yeah, I definitely put it above One Piece, but again, my familiarity with Avatar is a lot more than One Piece. So
without much spoilers for the audience, like, where did you leave off?
So for those who know, it's literally the episode when the main character Aang has been captured and then someone sets him free. I'm being very vague on purpose for those who don't know, because if I say the wrong thing, it'll definitely give it away, but it's a really cool thing in the animated show and in the live action. So
okay. So you're in the thick of it for sure.
Mm-hmm, almost done.
But yeah, like you said, you know, it's different. Are some things going to be sacrificed over the others? Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I don't think it's as offensive as some people were saying it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there any standout characters for this version compared to like the anime version?
Zuko, Sokka, of course, Fire Lord. Ozai is hot. So shout out to Daniel Day Kim. The ladies are doing great too. I just think some of them need a little more time, but that's just me. But then again, I haven't seen the last episode. So other than that, it's pretty strong. I think this is a great intro to the universe. And if you have ever been interested in watching the cartoon, I can't stress enough, that is some of the best media, as far as a cartoon goes, out there ever. Like, I put me on that. And if you don't believe me, well, sorry. Well, it's one of the best things ever made, honestly. So,
yeah. Cool, cool. Well, what else have you been up to?
Other than that, I'm just working. Did we talk about how I saw Dune last time? I don't remember. Well, I saw Dune.
No, we didn't have an episode last week.
But on IMAX. So that was IMAX. Pretty wild. I did not enjoy the first one. I didn't read the book. So, but the second one is a good sequel. Really good sequel.
And so that's what I've been enjoy hearing. It more.
The first one did something like The Eternals. It was all exposition with action, right? There's so much information. Having rewatched Eternals, I enjoy it more, you know? Eternals, I think, is very strong now, but I had to watch it a few times. Dune 1, to me, when I saw it in theaters, I was like, come the fuck on, let's move on. But now that we have established universe in these characters, I could say that it's like, okay, this is why we needed to do that to reach that point. Okay. So... Two is a really good sequel. I don't want to say much, but there's definitely some concepts and visuals that were really cool. Like I just don't want to spoil it. It was a good watch on IMAX for sure.
It's to me, because I haven't seen it yet, from what sounds like, it's literally like two is just like, hey, you know, you better catch up, because we're not explaining a lot of stuff. You're just expected to know what's going on at that point.
They throw you in in kind of a great way too. One of our friends who I saw with, he big Dune fan, he's been waiting for this movie for like 20 years. He was like literally leaning forward at the end, like, and I said, this is his Black Panther, and I fucking laughed. But that was his Black Panther.
That's great.
Yeah, Dune 2, I highly recommend it. If you enjoyed the first one, you'll definitely love the second one. If you were not sure, give the second one a chance, because I was like, but I, you know, I'll still watch it. But
IMAX experience was still good.
Yeah, good cinematic experience. Have a big D&D thing this weekend, so I've been prepping for that. It's a big story beat. I'm excited for you guys to go through with it. And for those who for those who know the Mass Effect universe, they're going to T'Chanka in part three. It's a really, really big story beat. And to keep it fresh for some people who know what happens, I've been changing the story. And I think the changes have been good. A few of them, I think, have been...
It's been appreciated.
Interesting. But yeah, but you guys also make some interesting choices too, which I roll with. But yeah, it's going to be cool.
Whether we like it or not.
Oh, there's definitely going to be a whether you like it or not choice. yeah. And lastly, before we move to you, Brian, I don't know if I talked about it, but Ed came out for Street Fighter VI.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of footage about him. He looks cool.
He's like a boxer, up-close character, but he has surprisingly a little bit of range. So I've been working with him, and that's the first character I started playing classic and like didn't have to adjust. All the characters I've had to adjust from modern to classic. Maybe Aki, not so much, because I didn't play as much in modern. But everyone else, I played modern, and I switched to classic. So Ed, I have a little bit better understanding for how he moves in classic, but yeah, it's been cool. And I played a little bit of Spider-Man because they did the new game plus. We'll talk more about that later, but that Helldivers been fun. Lots of gaming and more to come. Yeah, what you've been up to, Brian? Let's catch up with Brian.
Well, shit. What have I been up to? I think I finally reached an endpoint for Pokemon Scarlet. I managed to catch all of the Pokemon in the new area for the DLC Part 2, which means I gained access to getting the last two legendary, like, ancient form Pokemon.
And is this DLC called?
So it's... It's the, what was it, the Secret of Area Zero? Save Pokemon DLC.
It's like alien shit, like, because it's like Area 51? 51?
No, so it, without spoiling the story, like, depending on which version you get, it's like basically... a little bit of kind of time travel-y stuff. It's like Scarlet has to do more with the past and then Violet has to do more with the future. And so like there's a phenomenon happening in Area Zero, which is like the center portion of like the entire map.
Whoa, and... what the fuck is this fucking thing?
Oh yeah. There's some crazy looking motherfuckers. You probably
know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's a crazy looking fucking Pokemon.
The, and so basically there's some weird timey-wimey stuff being tinkered with, and so you're getting to see a lot of these weirder Pokemon from either the past or the future. So yeah, I finally have reached an end point.
Nice.
With Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. I can't see them doing anything else because they already did like an epilogue for the game.
So like an ending, so, ending, like it's we're done.
Yes, and also no. It's an ending to the game, but it doesn't explain everything, which I think is what they kind of wanted to do. They didn't want to explain everything in this game, but okay. They wrapped it up for your character at least, and like your friend group. You know, it's like one last adventure kind of thing, and then you got to catch the special mythical Pokemon that they released for it. What the
fuck is this Pokemon?
There's a lot of weirdos.
What the fuck is this?
What are you looking at? Show the
video audience. Well, I saw Ogrepan, Ogie Dogie.
Oh, that's from the Part 1 DLC. Ogrepan's kind of sick. She has different masks you can equip to her, and then the mask changes her secondary type and her special move. It's pretty cool. And then when she like terrestrializes, the mask is what terrestrializes, so it like grows fucking super big. It's like a big giant.
This looks like a legendary Pokemon.
Yeah.
And some original ones. Okay.
Yep.
The fuck is this one? Oh, that's a weird choice. I'm not gonna say anymore. Okay. Yeah, Pokemon be Pokemon.
Pokemon be Pokemon. But yeah, so I finally got to like a content place. I enjoyed the second bit of
Nice.
DLC pretty much. It was a nice wrap up, I think, for a game that is kind of contentious depending on who you talk to. And because of that, I decided to start hopping back into Tears of the Kingdom because I still haven't beaten it yet.
Oh,
and
shit.
I'm on the hunt for the other cutscenes to get the story bits of the past. And I was having a hard time because I was trying to look throughout the map and like find these glyphs that I had to like kind of find the memories in. And then I realized that the start to the quest, I didn't do properly. So I went back and actually did it. And then that quest led me to a temple, which had a map where to all the glyphs were. So I was doing it hard mode this entire fucking time. And so I realized I have like four glyphs I need to find. And so on my next sit down with it, I'll do that, and then I'll feel slightly confident enough to kind of venture forward through the main mission. So that's been neat to get back into it.
It's a nice that too.
Relaxing game. What else? I mean, besides Helldivers, WWE 2K24 came out. I've been playing that a lot.
Tell us about it. We can go to Helldivers in a minute.
2K24 is like many other like sports game where it's like it's iterative of the game that came before it. I'd say out of all of the 2K versions of the WWE games, this is probably the best one. They took what they did with their base for 2K22 and they kept building upon it. And in this one, the gameplay itself feels really fun. I kind of told you in passing a little bit that actually they did upgrade the physics of the game a little bit more.
Thank God.
You can clip multiple opponents, whereas like before you would do a move on somebody or like you'd run at somebody. And then the game kind of picks your main target and sticks to it. Where this time, if you hit your opponent and you also graze somebody else, they'll actually like take the hit as well, which is really nice. Weapons are super fun now. They brought back a lot of the features that used to be in old games, like you can light tables on fire. You can pretty much do everything that they've kind of done already. But one of the fun things is that you can actually throw the weapons.
Oh, nice.
And it's made for some really, really funny and interesting situations. So like, let's say you got a steel chair, right?
Yeah.
And your opponent is either distracted or, you know, they're getting up or something, and you just take the chair and you just throw it at them and they just get hit by it, fall down, or you can throw them into the ring, and so you could just start raining like weapons into the ring, and like if they hit somebody, they hit somebody. What else? The new match types are pretty fun. A special guest referee is amazing. It's the most detailed version of that match type they've ever had. You can literally control the entire match, because in the past games that have had special guest referee, like they had like the simple stuff where you can like, you know, count the pinfalls, count the ring outs, if you can call a disqualification if somebody does something bad or anything, but like they have all that, but also they have the very technical stuff too, where like if your opponents are like on the outside of the ring, you can like give them warnings to kind of like tell him to get back inside before you like count, and you can kind of prolong the count as well. Nice. You can call a rope break when there isn't one, which is cool. So they give you a lot of tools that you could actually be a dirty ref, like legitimately.
Nice.
Which is really nice. And of course they give you the ability to switch into like wrestler mode, so you can like attack, you know, somebody if you want to be a dirty ref. It's really fun. What's really fun is that they gave every single wrestler a referee outfit.
Oh, nice.
So you can slap them in a referee shirt and, you know, they can play the part as a special guest referee. But you can play as all the actual official WWE referees, too, in that mode. Nice. So you can actually play as them, which is great. Let's see what else. There's the casket match, which is a lot more fun than it used to be. Because I can't remember last time there's been like an actual casket match in the game, but there's been like a buried alive match, which is kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
They've kind of like interchanged like the casket and buried alive as like the same thing. But this one is more true to how it actually is. So it's like you have the two opponents in the ring, and then they bring, which is really cool because specialty matches, they'll actually bring out the thing after people make their entrance. So it's like you have the two people make their entrance, and then you'll have two fucking like jabronis fucking come out with a casket. And it's like, now it's time for the casket match. And then it actually has property. So the whole left side of the ring is the casket, right? And the whole point is that you're supposed to open the lid, throw them in, and then you have like a little mini game where you like smash a button to try to close the casket. Oh, well, for instance, if the casket's closed, you can throw somebody over the ring and they'll land on the casket, and they have actual like landing on the casket physics and like animations. Like someone will land, it's like, ah, and they'll like, they'll arch and they'll like roll off.
Nice.
And shit like that. And it's like, so it's like, okay, cool. It's like a nice detail. And the same for the ambulance match. You have an ambulance, you know, you can try to throw them in and close the door, or you can climb on top of it and throw them off the ambulance. It's a lot of fun.
Nice.
I haven't tried the gauntlet matches yet, and I haven't tried the four person backstage brawls yet, but they are there.
Oh shit.
I know. Chaos. Fucking chaos ensues. What else?
In my GM mode, can you go back to the high school? That high school got like four Hell in the Cells and we were streaming it.
Oh, I can guarantee. I haven't looked at it yet, but I've seen Up Up Down Down stream on launch day for my GM, and it does look like it has been upgraded.
Nice.
What's nice is that now, like, the wrestlers on your roster will have emblems telling you, like, the important information you need to know about them when you're, like, booking your matches, which was great because, like, when we did our thing for the Chase series, you know, it was like, okay, it's like, what the fuck did they do? It's like, you have to keep going through like the different settings and menus to figure out all the shit. But it's like, no, all the important information is just right there on the wrestler. It's like, okay, cool.
Nice.
Awesome. Love it. And of course,
improvements, it sounds like.
Yeah. And of course they added new shows. You can do ECW now, and you have
nice.
You have new general managers you can add on, like Paul Heyman. So I was like, okay, that's sick. What else? You know, there are some things I wish would improve in future iterations. My bottle is broken. Goddamn. like, for example, the I kind of wish the entrance creation was a little bit of how it used to be, because how it used to be was like you have your list of, you know, all the different entrances you can pick from, and you can customize how you want it to work. You know, like you can change the camera angles, you can do like special effects, you can like pick your focus for like every part, like part of the entrance. Where on this one, you can customize it, but it's literally just kind of picking the different portions of an entrance, and then you can like pick the lighting and like pyro if you want, but that's about it. And the one thing I still hate the most is that you can't preview the entrance. You have to select it. Because what I like to do for my intros, I like to time everything out with the music, because I feel like having like an action with like the beat of the music like creates like a nice little like symmetry.
Yeah, yeah.
I shit you not, I was like sitting there for like half an hour trying to figure out which intro sequence times out right so I can get my fucking guy to like do a bang with the beat of the music. And it's like, it's literally like fractions of a second. I'm like, motherfucker, if I could just preview this together without having to back out three menus, you know, I'd be fine. So that's it's little tiny gripes, One thing I didn't expect, though. So if you saw in the menu, there's a mode called My Faction mode. It's basically a pseudo like card based game where like you collect cards. This is their gacha system. This is how they get perpetual money coming in over and over again. You collect cards and you use, and they're like wrestlers, and you use them to create a faction. And then within that mode, there's like ladders and, you know, you can do online play and stuff like that. And it's your faction versus another faction, like another player's faction. And you use it to get points, like rack them up, get more packs, like level up your faction. And basically that's it. It's like a perpetual like game mode that keeps on going, and they release new packs every couple of weeks or so. Last year they had special versions of Superstars that were exclusive to My Faction mode, like the action figure John Cena that was exclusive to that mode. You couldn't play it anywhere else. This year, however, they made the right decision, and they call those kind of cards persona cards. And basically what that means is it's a different looking version of that superstar that not only is playable in My Faction, but it unlocks it for every other mode in the game. So you have action figure John Cena for like, you know, every other mode. You get, you know, whatever special custom version of a superstar they release in the future for like the next year, you can play it in any other mode, and it's really cool. I appreciate it. It got me to actually play that mode, because I didn't want to play it last year because it didn't have a purpose, but now it does. I can unlock new versions of superstars, so it's like, sweet, nice, awesome. You can get me to play. Also, they created a roguelike mode. You have like,
really,
you have your faction, and then there's like this tree, right? And it starts out with like, okay, first thing is like a one-on-one match. And it's like, okay, you win that, and you go through the tree, and like sometimes there'll be like boot, like buffs. So it's like, okay, put some armor on your faction. Or like, hey, like one of your members is kind of weak, you can swap it out with this other superstar that we're offering you, and you can play with them. And then you do that all the way up until a boss. And then once you beat the boss, you have the ability to unlock that card keep. So it's like, okay, cool. New variations of the system. And I think it actually works pretty well. So And I'm playing the story mode now. So far, it's interesting. The past few years, they've been doing like two different story modes, for one for male superstars, one for female. I'm doing the male one, which the story is Roman Reigns got tired
of
defending the belt against everybody because he keeps beating him. So now he wants to go to Hollywood to make movies. So he relinquished the title because he wants to go in Hollywood, right? And so your character fights like Cody for the belt, and then some shenanigans happens to where you become the champion. And it's like they're treating your character like, oh, you've been on the roster for almost 2 years and you're just a bum. Like, you haven't done anything special. And so now you're like becoming the undisputed champion has been thrusted upon you because Roman Reigns was like, fuck it, I'm out. It's like, it's like, okay, cool. And so I'm in the process of doing that. But overall, 2K24 is a real fun game. If you're into wrestling,
nice.
You know, give it a try. I haven't checked out the abominations people have made yet, but I'm sure they're there. But yeah, besides that, just been playing a lot of Helldiver still.
Hell yeah.
Mechs just got released. I haven't checked that out yet, but Joel, have you checked out the mechs yet?
Yeah, they're pretty cool. So the week they released them, actually, they got their servers got hit hard again. They were at max. I didn't play, but I think I played late at night with some buddies. Not on Friday, but there was a free call-in for one. So that was cool. There's a little glitch, though, right now, because you can shoot missiles.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at the wrong angle and you fire, you blow yourself up. So that happened to me a few times.
Oh, no.
It was pretty dope, though. Fernando, his sister, and I were extracting on a map, and we were just, like, you know, using our mechs to, like, mow bugs down, the three of us. It was a pretty good feeling. It does have a stomp. I wouldn't always use it, though. I've seen a charger. Like, I missed my stomp, and the charger fucked me up.
Oh.
So, and then the new patches came in. They're trying to balance the game. They're trying to stay away from, like, this is meta. They're like, no, use whatever you want. We're trying to make it fun for everyone, you know? So I really appreciate that. But, yeah, Flamethrower got buffed, which you were happy about, and I was very happy about, too.
Hill's charger's like nothing.
The railgun, I finally got it, and it got nerfed, so I'm a little sad. But I can go in unsafe mode, I guess, and use it. But, still a lot of fun. It's still a $40 game. There's definitely some goofy-ass clips I've put on our Discord and on our TikTok or my TikTok of some, like, weird, really weird shit. So it's still a fun time, though, for sure. I can't wait to see more things they do. But yeah, the whole, like, you know, we got mechs now, you know, we liberated that planet. And I saw someone's comment, which I would love, if we lost the planet, we lose the mechs. So I think that'd be a cool
story. Or, like, takes longer for us to get.
Yeah. Next, I think, is cars. So I'm curious to see how they're probably not as tanky as a mech, right? But probably super fast. So I'm wondering what the, you know, if they have gas or whatever. Yeah, what their mechanics are. But yeah, Helldiver is still super fun. Sometimes I see all of our friends playing, like, fuck, they're full. You know, there's only four people at a time. I hope they do like a big ass mode and it's just like a survival and hella people. So we'll see, though. We'll see. And apparently they balanced some of the chargers like recently. I just read the patch today. One of our buddies shared. There's less chargers and Bile Titans, but more of everything else. I think that's fair.
Oh, but I
fucking hate stalkers now. Like, stalkers are the bane of my existence. So, yeah.
What was the jumpers? Those like medium sized bugs.
The warriors or whatever. Is that what they're called?
I hate those ones the most because they do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Like, stalkers, I can understand because they're like kind of good sized bugs, but like, these little fucking guys will come up like punch you twice and you're almost dead. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Oh, and armor actually works. It actually matters.
Hey, finally!
Fernando's sister was playing, and they shot a hell bomb because there's sometimes just hell bombs on the map, and they survived. So their armor actually came into play instead of them just nuking themselves.
I can't tell you how, like, happy I was for the armor to come back. It's like, okay, cool. Now, like, the stats matter. Yeah. I could actually be less cautious than I was before.
Apparently, stealth, though, isn't working correctly. I've seen some people post that.
Oh.
Because I've seen some videos of people sneaking in the automaton camp and shit. So I don't know. I never tried to stealth. Usually, I'm like action man in this game, so. Yeah.
I feel like there's no time for stealth, really.
Right?
That's cool. But yeah, so be hell diving. Be hell diving a lot more. Speaking of diving, Joel, we checked in with Destiny this past week.
Oh shit. Yeah, there's only one thing that brought us back. Shout out to the guy who commented on our post yesterday, who also felt the same way. Destiny 2 with the Guardian Games, and of course they have a grindiest way to get this item. I was working on it today. They brought hoverboards in, like actual hoverboards, or it's like Silver Surfer type boards.
They're really, really cool.
It's fun, and the clip I posted just me on the Dreaming City. And what's cool is you can like grind on an invisible rail above shit, and for a decent amount of time. So
pretty much as long as your booster like lasts shit. For, yeah.
Yeah,
but
it'll be interesting.
The unfortunate thing is that it is very hard to get.
Yeah. So with that, you can get it for free right now until the event is over. But there's two ways to get it and solidify it. One, you just buy the Gjallarhorn version, $25. The other way is you honestly, can deposit 1,200 medals, or get a top score in whatever the thing is for this week, Crucible, Nightfall, or whatever. The third one I've been working on is you have to basically at set times during the day. You pledge your character, you do the activity they say to. If your class wins, you get a package. And once you do three of those winner packages, you get the board. The other way I've been doing it too is if you watch a streamer for 2 hours, you get a diamond medal. If you just get enough of those diamond medals, it cuts the 1200 mark down a lot because one diamond is worth 300. So I've done that twice now. And I was like, fuck this. I'm not grinding for this shit anymore. I'm going to try for one more diamond and be done.
So is that why hunters have been winning every day?
Maybe.
It's because they just figured, hey, if hunters keep winning, we just pledge the hunters and then we get the
board. I will say earlier, I was trying to pledge to Titans, but it wasn't loading the game mode for Supremacy. But Titans were kicking ass in Crucible. I was like, shit, I'll pledge right now to secure that win. And it's across all characters for those who multi-class like me. My one of three wins for the pledging, it's account-wide. So
okay, that's good.
That's kind of nice. If you only have a Titan, like our buddy here, wherever he is on the screen, he has to log in and pledge. Hopefully Titans are kicking ass. So yeah, hoverboard, really cool, honestly.
Hoverboard is really cool. I just wish that, you see, the thing is, it's like the quests aren't that hard, except for maybe like the top 10% of like Nightfall score, because that shit always keeps rising up. So it's like, okay, so it's what is, if they actually showed you like what like the top 10% is, so you can actually like aim for something instead of just guess like we were doing, like that'd be better. But after Ben showed us, like, yeah, they have the Gjallarhorn board you just buy. I'm just like, I don't give a fuck then. We stop playing Destiny again. Which is unfortunate because
the diamond thing, but yeah, I'm not. They'll come up with cooler ones to buy, I'm sure.
Yeah. But it's like, we're having a fun time, though. Like, Destiny is still fun.
Yeah.
Just wish that it wasn't just because there's a cool board that got me back to come and play for a bit.
Yeah.
You know, but what can you do? We got like 3 more months until Final Shape.
Until Final Shape. Yeah. Yeah.
Like June. Yeah. So we got some time still.
Yeah.
I believe that's all the important news for me, at least. So before we get into the news portion of the podcast, I want to remind you all that the challenge has been made.
Oh, yeah.
March 23rd, Saturday, 1 p.m. on twitch.tv/UnitedReader. Joel will challenge me for the World Nerdy Weight Championship.
Yeah.
In Street Fighter 6, we are going to be fighting on the streets. So come check it out. Come hang out with us on Saturday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Pacific time on twitch.tv/UnitedReader. That's right. The whole crew is going to be here live in person.
Yes.
We're going to try to get Marcel to play Street Fighter, even though he says that he blows, which, hey, you know.
He says it's dirty and disgusting because he's all up on that Tekken now.
I mean, I can kind of understand what he's talking about, but.
You go 3D, I understand.
But I have a title to defend. So, you know, I need to get on my game. But yeah,
you do.
Make sure to check that out. And of course, the VOD, if you can't catch us live, the VOD will be on our second YouTube channel, our VOD channel, Twitch, youtube.com/@UWNRewind, where we keep all of our Twitch VODs. So you can go check that out as well. And besides that, Joel, what news do you want to talk about first?
Let's use that as a bounce point. They finally dropped a little teaser trailer the other day. Akuma's coming, baby, to Street Fighter 6.
That's right.
I saw the trailer. He's looking raw. So, well, that looks great. To be honest, I've never used Akuma before, so I'm excited to see how he feels in this game. So, I know a little bit about him, but I'm excited. Ed was really cool, actually. I'm really digging to Ed, and Aki is great. Rashid is something else, though. I've been training and playing with my wife, and she's picking up Rashid on Modern. Oh, dude, he's so fast. I'm still figuring out Classic, and she's kicking
my ass. I personally rather play Rashid in Modern than Classic, actually.
Yeah, he's really, really good for Modern or Classic. But yeah. Akuma looking good. The map looks dope too. For those who are fans of Street Fighter, go check out that Akuma trailer.
And we're getting him in spring. So anytime between now and May, he's gonna be coming out. That's less time than it takes for Final Shape to get here. It's great.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to do another throwdown with Akuma too. So we'll see. With that, Capcom. Oh, were you gonna say something?
Well, no, I was just going to say, it's so wild because I didn't expect for us to get Akuma news so fast since Ed's been barely out, you know?
Yeah.
So they really wanted to get year one pretty much packed away. So that's cool.
Year two? Is it Sagat, Vega, and Bison coming back? Come on now. Rufus? Let's go. All right. For those who still play... even our buddy Jameson, who loves this game, Exo Primal, forgot about it because of Helldivers, and he got a PS5 too. Exo Primal has a cool crossover with Mega Man. I personally like Mega Man. Street Fighter did a Mega Man crossover. Okay. There's still one right now. But you can have like a Mega Man skin in Exo Primal.
Can I be honest?
What?
The skin looks kind of weird.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't look terrible. Strange. It's just like they made him like very much like... like regular Mega Man, but like in the world of Exo Primal, he looks so out of place.
Yeah, it's funny. And like they roboticized Guile and fucking
Ryu, and Chun-Li,
which I thought was really cool. I hope they make that skin for Street Fighter. But yeah, Mega Man looks like God. A child.
Oh God!
What
are they gonna have the exiting of the suit animation for Mega Man? That's gonna be terrifying. He's like, Mega Man's just gonna bust open. He's like, ah! And you just have a guy jump out of him. He's like, oh.
I kind of want to play now just to see. I haven't touched Exo Primal in a minute, but if it wasn't for Helldivers, I think I'd be going back in. But yeah, Helldivers just kicked everything to the curb.
Aren't they also coming out with like another mode, or like a new mode came out for Exo Primal?
I think they, oh yeah, you can make like your custom matches mode, which is pretty cool.
Hey.
I remember seeing that in the trailer. And of course, they're bringing that big boss from Mega Man to fight. So I think that's pretty cool too. Oh yeah,
the Yellow Devil.
Last mission. Oh, yeah. You could. They're going to do variations on the last mission with custom gold skins you can win. But yeah, for those who played the sleeper hit of 2023, they're not done with it, which I'm happy for, which is far more than other games I was excited about. But anyway, yeah, keep kicking ass, Exo Primal. Proud of you guys. When Helldivers dies down, which is probably never, I'll play again. Maybe when Destiny dies down, I'll check it out. I'm still kind of going through Baldur's Gate a little. I got some hard modes to care of. With that, I want to segue into something you posted, Brian. Multiverses. It's still alive.
Okay.
Super surprised.
So, as was I. So, this happened like 2 days ago or so. They just made an announcement that Multiverses is coming. So to kind of catch people up to track with what the whole story is, you can get up to speed with us here. So last year, Multiverses came out into beta, right? They had some closed beta tests and they had some open beta tests. And well, actually, no. Track that. Actually, backtrack at this is 2022, actually.
Damn, really?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because after the open beta, they had 2 seasons afterwards. So it's like, okay, the game's out. You know, they went through the beta. They had 2 seasons. They unlocked some more characters. And the reason why is because they won a game award. In 2022, I believe. Yes. They won a game award for best fighting game. Or it was either best fighting game or like best new game or something like that. But they won a game award. So it's like, oh shit, you know, cool. Like, you know, it's a fine game. You know, there's some things they need to tweak and fix up a little bit. But like people were loving the game. They were playing the game. And then I believe it was like soon into 2023, they announced that they were closing the servers to work on the game and that they were saying that it was a beta. It's like, thank you for playing the beta. And it's like, motherfucker, people bought 2 seasons worth of battle passes for this shit. Yeah. And it won a game award. You don't win a game award when you're in a beta. So that was a little weird.
Yeah.
I'll be to say, after that, they pretty much went silent, right? And then, as we've talked about in the podcast before, like Warner Brothers Discovery, you know, started doing what they've been doing, you know, canceling projects left and right. And so a lot of us that played Multiverses were like, is it going to survive? Because when you think about a stockholder and it's like, well, the game was open and then you shut it down. Do you not believe in the game? If you don't believe in the game, we'll just, you know, get rid of it. You know, we got our money for what time we had. We got award for it.
God, Harry Warner Brothers.
And so, you know, it's been left up in the air for so long. And then out of nowhere, the Multiverses accounts posted this video showing off that they're getting ready for their, it's like May 23rd, 28th launch. They're going to launch it May 28th. The game's coming back, which to my surprise, you know, because like I said, a lot of us thought it was going to be dead or just kind of like gone forever.
Yeah.
But, you know, saw that and we're like, okay, cool. You're coming back. You know, what's going to change? Because you can't just have a game just shut down out of nowhere and expect the fan base to come back in full without any changes. So Joel, I'll tell you what they've changed. They pretty much built the game back up from the ground, is now in Unreal 5.
Like a total revamp?
Total revamp. Wow. Is now Unreal 5. They rebuilt the entire netcode for the game because that was it. That was kind of an issue when it came out. So they rebuilt the netcode, so now it is more stable and a lot more easy to use.
That's good to hear.
They reworked animations of all the fighters so that they feel more fluid and they feel more characteristically appropriate for the characters, which is interesting. It's like, okay, cool. They're adding a PvE mode so you can play offline with you know, friends and whatnot. So I was like, okay, cool. You know, you actually, like, they actually took the year to work on the game, which is great. Cause like I said before, the game needed work. And so now that they're showing it's like, okay, so that's what they've been doing. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to have any other betas before it comes out, or they're just going to release it in May. But hey, you know, knowing that they've actually been working on improving the game makes me more interested in actually going back to it. Cause I was one of the people that bought the Founders Pack when it came out, cause I wanted to get in early and try it out. And for the most part, it was fun. I don't know if, did you play with us, Joel? I'm trying to remember, because I know Ben and Fernando
actually.
Did.
Yeah,
you did. Okay.
I like Jake a lot.
Jake was a lot of fun. So yeah, I'm excited to see what they do with it. I'm just glad that they, at least for the meantime, aren't under the scope of, you know, Warner Brothers Discovery. It seems like they're doing their own thing at the moment. Of course,
for now,
we're still 2 months away from it being released, so who knows? Warner Brothers can change their mind. But hey, Multiverse is coming back. Pretty cool.
Some games needed to do that. Take a year off and just reboot.
Let's see. Since we're still kind of in the realm of Hollywood, we can just mention briefly that Godzilla Minus One won an Oscar.
Hell yeah.
Hey.
Yes, it did. Well deserved. Best visual effects. So they definitely deserved it, considering how much money they had and what they did. It was
how much money they had and how much they overworked the visual effects department.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But it's also just amazing. It's like, wow, a movie that costs way less than any other movie on in a contention for the award, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But also, you know, for being Godzilla fans or just kaiju fans, it's really cool to have a Toho made, you know, all Japanese production, like, Godzilla movie do so well in overseas and then do well enough to win an award at the Oscars is amazing. And also just the fact that we got to hear the Godzilla theme song as they walked up to the stage was fucking wild.
Hell yeah. Do you see the shoes, what they had?
Yeah.
Their pumps.
Fucking the Godzilla hands coming out. Yeah. That's pretty
cool. I like that they brought the action figures again. That's
yeah.
That's, yeah. Like well deserved. Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Godzilla. So yeah, if you don't believe it now, you gotta watch Godzilla Minus One. When it comes out, you gotta check it out.
Dude, I want that 4-disc Blu-ray set that was only announced for Japan. Come on, we need to announce it. Announce the worldwide release of the Blu-ray, or at least the digital.
They do literally it, Toho. Extended it here. There is a reason to do it here.
And also give me the black and white version too.
Oh yeah. I would love to have minus color in that set.
Do it.
Yeah, just
cowards.
Forever. Yeah.
But congratulations.
Well, hoping at the end of the month, GVK gets an award too next. No, it probably won't, but that's
one can dream.
At the end of the month. I'm excited for that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, if it did win an award, can you imagine? Godzilla yeah. Dynasty.
Speaking of something, at the end of the month, you know, we talked about Akira Toriyama at the top of the show, but also something that is coming to an end in about a month's time. Rooster Teeth is shutting down. Another victim of Warner Brothers Discovery. It was announced in the middle of last week that Warner Brothers Discovery, through failing to sell off Rooster Teeth to another company, has decided to shut down the production. I think over at least 150 people that worked like at Rooster Teeth proper will be out of jobs. And Warner Brothers Discovery is currently trying to sell off the animated series that they had. So like Ruby, Genlock, I believe Death Battle is also a part of it. Or I don't know if the Death Battle crew is trying to buy out Death Battle so they can keep doing it themselves. I don't know. But yeah, it's a bummer because, well, it's a bummer, but slight also not surprising. And I'll tell you why, Joel. Like,
tell me why, Brian.
Rooster Teeth is a production of early YouTube. And what I mean by that is like the big production team like style YouTube companies like Machinima. The Machinima went away a long time ago.
Yes, they did.
So it kind of felt like over the years, you know, Rooster Teeth has been having troubles. You know, not so great news coming out of Rooster Teeth, but also like seeing a lot of people start to, you know, phase out and leave. So
yeah.
it was only under the assumption that eventually at some point something like this was going to happen, but
yeah,
to see it just kind of come out of the blue and not under their control is kind of lame. Because like I said, like this is the production company that, you know, think about all the things that are involved in Rooster Teeth. Like I said, there's Ruby, Genlock, Red versus Blue, Death Battle,
my God,
Achievement Hunter, Fun House, I believe Always Open is still a part of that. Like, there's so many things related to Rooster Teeth that are all kind of combined into this whole shutdown, which is sad because it's a lot of things going away, unless if people can buy the properties from Warner Brothers.
Honestly, Microsoft, you should buy Rooster Teeth. Red versus Blue fucking probably did more for Halo than you realized. I mean, holy shit. Like,
I mean, they would be Griff Ball, dude.
Yeah. So just saying, ideas have been pitched. Like, I think they should really consider like that. Kept that game and people's interest in it alive to some extent.
Yeah. So, but also at the same time, just the climate of YouTube has changed.
Gotcha.
You know, big productions like this have a harder time surviving. And I know they had like their Rooster Teeth first, like subscription service, which according to Warner Brothers Discovery is one of the reasons why they decided to shut it down, just because they weren't seeing a huge return on it, which is, I don't know what that means to them at all, but it's just really unfortunate because like Rooster Teeth was the powerhouse of like the early 2000s all the way to like the 2010s and even till like, you know, this year. You know, it was like you still knew like what Rooster Teeth was. And so it's really just sad. I believe the only thing that's staying is their podcasting network, The Roost, which is apparently a separate entity from Rooster Teeth. So all the podcasts that are in that network are staying around. They're no one's going anywhere, at least from that front, the podcasting front. But like all of the video stuff, all the production stuff is gone or is in the process of leaving. And I managed to catch their live stream last week. Just kind of like on like their initial like reactions, and it was rough, dude. Cause a lot of the founders did leave, but, I think Jeff and Gus are the last like founders that are still kind of there. And it was rough because it was a very emotional stream, of course, but like just to like, at least for me, I don't know how much Rooster Teeth you've been digesting over the years, Joel.
Not that much, to be honest, just when I was younger.
Yeah.
Maybe like, I'll check out Gen Law. I just haven't.
Well, apparently it's going to be on YouTube now, so you can go check that shit out.
Nice.
But like for me, I've been like regularly like catching up on like Rooster Teeth content. I didn't like see everything or listen to everything, but like I would like weave in and out through like different productions of Rooster Teeth. It's just like really sad to see like Rooster Teeth's been around for 21 years.
Fuck.
They've been around for a while. And it's just sad. Like I said, you know, despite like some of the, the rough times they've had, it's still sad to see a thing like that end. But it's the hope that there's a lot of really good people in that company that I believe could either team up and do something new or like do their own thing. And
whale leg,
I guess. The only like the silver lining to all this is just to remind people that if there are people that you liked in Rooster Teeth, make sure to follow them and make sure to see what they're doing and support them, especially when the month comes up and then Rooster Teeth finally shuts down. Yeah. Support the creators from there that you really appreciated, like, because that's the best thing that as a viewer you could do is just to make sure that the creators you like feel that support and know that, you know, you care. And it doesn't have to be, and it doesn't even have to be like a monetary thing. It's just like, you know, making sure you keep up with like what they're doing and, you know, making sure like you're on top of, you know, the projects that they make after, like, post Rooster Teeth, you know. So, you know, best of luck to everybody at Rooster Teeth. You know, we hope you the best. But yeah, here's the Rooster Teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm looking at. Oh, there's this little thing here about Respawn, Joel. Did you want to talk about that real quick?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of sad news. Basically, they shut down the game they were working on with the cuts and stuff, and it just sucks. Like, they're working on another game and just axed, you know.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it was what they called the Mandalorian game, like not like the Mandalorian the show, but like a Mandalorian game
essentially.
Damn it. we'll never get a sequel to Jango Fett. Bounty Hunter.
Yeah. And then I'm just double checking the post. Yeah, EA laid off 670. And yeah, the Star Wars FPS is canceled. Set in the Star Wars universe. I would guess it was, yeah, based on Mandalorian.
I like that after that news, there was like an announcement saying that, the team that is working on Apex is working on a new game in Titanfall universe. And I looked at that post and I was like, you're not tricking me again. We went through this twice already. Mm. Don't fucking do this to me. I'm not going to believe you until I see something.
Titanfall Rebirth. Oh, man, it's probably going to be something like
that. I would kill for anything Titanfall, but I don't have hope. I don't have hope anymore that's going to happen. But yeah, that sucks, dude.
Yeah.
And what sucks is it's not new. It's not new news.
No.
It's just another company, another thing canceled, another layoff spree.
Layoffs continue.
Layoffs continue. Actually.
Whoa.
Here, vamp for me while I look up for some.
I just wanted to also bring up that recently, March 10th, was Mario Day. So they did a little
direct music. Oh, yeah.
I watched it today. They're just, kind of catches up that there's some new games being re-released or a new game in total. And also that they're still working on another movie, hopefully by next year or maybe it's 2026.
That's cool news. I'm surprised that they actually gave us like a year to actually do that. So that's cool.
Mario movie was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
It was a good movie. A
couple things I was just like, but I get it. They made their choices because it's still a movie and it's got to make money. So, yeah, but it was cool. A little Mario Day, a little snippet for us. They also posted a video showing like Mario throughout the years. That was pretty cool. Watching it just like evolve over time.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty dope.
Oh, so.
And I just saw. Oh, wait. Do you still want to talk about Mario?
Oh, no. Go for it.
Oh, I was totally going to change to something else just saw.
Well, I wanted to mention back some kind of positive news coming out from like the whole Respawn thing. So, the director of the Star Wars Jedi series, who left a little while ago, announced his new studio, a Giant Skull Studio. Has just been made, and they're saying that they're in the process of making a new it's like a new premium AAA narrative driven single player third person action adventure game on Unreal Engine 5.
Damn.
Lots so to deliver. Cool. It's cool to see at least something good coming out of all of these like departures and stuff like that. So and sure. It's the director of Jedi Survivor and Jedi Fallen Order, so there has to be at least something good coming out from that.
Narratively, so, at least.
And so sometimes I try to look at the silver lining for a lot of things. I think that's just kind of my personality. And out of all of these layoffs from a whole bunch of different gaming companies, it's stories like this that give me kind of hopeful that the people that do decide to kind of try to make it on their own can strike out, make a company, be independent, and just make a game that, they don't have to worry about time restraints, and they can just work on it and come out with a nice product. And, people love the game that they make. It's like same like this for Giant Skull. I hope that we see more of this and we get a whole new resurgence of all of these independent companies coming out and try to take away from these massive conglomerates that we've been getting this past decade in gaming. So Giant Skull, look out. Probably won't hear anything about this game for at least a couple years, but you know, it'll be exciting to see what they come up with.
Yep.
Okay, Joel. So what did you wanna bring up?
Oh, just two things. Our homie, well, I shouldn't say homie, but the guy who played Bayek of Siwa, Abukar Salim, who was also in Raised by Wolves, his game, although it's for a major game company, coming out April 23rd. So it looked really cool at the Game Awards, and of course he's a cool guy. He even had Neil Newbon come on and fucking play with them, and they're like bantering the whole fucking time, which I like for videos. It's like, I'm trying to break the game. He's like, you're not supposed to do that. You know, it's like, it's when he's saying something genuine. At least it felt genuine. But yeah, just shout out to that guy, because you reminded me, because you were saying, even though there was a layoff, you know, they make something from it. Like, he was on a great show, really weird sci-fi show, but great to watch, was Raised by Wolves. Super out there, but it got canned on HBO. And then, you know, so he's made this game, you know, to process his grief. So it's just, yeah, that I think, you know, from that, I think he had time to work on this game, put his heart into it. You know, we wouldn't get this game, maybe. Silver lining, maybe? All right.
And it looks like a really good game, too. I want to...
Like a fun side-scroller. So yeah, Zao looks good.
That's cool. Tales of Zenzura Zao.
Yeah,
looks like a really good game. Definitely, if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out. It looks like a really banger game, and you could tell that a lot of heart and soul went into it. So, like I said, when new small companies like this come out and do new things, you gotta go support it if you like it. So, go check it out. Mm-hmm. Oh, so yeah, we got a back
origins,
got a back bike.
Yeah. And unrelated to that, before that, it's because you reminded me about that. Apparently, Venom 3 got its official title, and it's coming out around this Halloween time. Venom Last Dance. Yeah, right. I just saw it on IGN's page. Apparently,
when are they making this thing? What the fuck? We haven't even got Kraven yet.
Anyway, I think they were working on it last year during the strike. but yeah, it's called Venom the Last Dance. You know, Madam Web came out, Kraven's coming out, and then we're going to get Venom 3. Venom 1, I think, although not great, was fun, had a good story. Venom 2 had better action, but a worse story, if you could believe it. But yeah, I still put those two above Morbius by Miles. And I heard Madam Web by the internet, of course, lamented poorly, but did hear was at least the middle was entertaining by someone who saw it. So I don't know, I probably won't see it. Probably will see Kraven. The bar is so low, like, I don't even, like, is it gonna be worse than Madame Web? Probably worse than Morbius. Probably.
What is Venom 3 gonna be about?
I think him versus Toxin or something. I don't fucking know, dude. All I know is there isn't a Spider-Man had, in it.
They already had, like, fucking Carnage.
Dude. Hopefully, halfway through the fucking movie, there's a portal he opens up and starts fighting Spider-Man. And that would literally be the best thing they've fucking done. But it's, I don't know. Hopefully he goes through a portal and punches Galactus or something. I don't fucking know. I really don't. I don't know what the fuck you're doing, Sony. You're like, Across the Spider-Verse is amazing. You know, Into the Spider-Verse is great, and then somehow we get Venom 2, and then the rest of this shit show. So, yeah. Yeah, anyway, I think those are my guilty pleasures, but yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there. just want to let you know, Venom's still out there.
Venom 1 was alright.
It was dumb fun. It was like, dumb it should have been marketed as a buddy cop film. It wasn't, but...
I mean, it kind of was. They just didn't say it.
They just didn't say it. Hey, I mean, if you still want to watch Let There Be Carnage, I have it on Blu-ray. Unopened.
Or just wait for it to fucking come to Disney Plus, because apparently Morbius is on Disney Plus now.
Is Venom on Disney Plus?
I think the first one is.
Why isn't the second? So why? There's some weird with their choices. Sony, what? Put that fucking movie on Disney Plus. Save yourself a fucking headache. Why?
Oh, Speaking of fucking Disney Plus, on my planet, I am kind of a loser. We need to talk about this could be the last thing we talk about when we wrap up the podcast. But Joel, have you been watching Bad Batch?
Dude, fucking love that show. It's so good. We've talked about it a little here and there. We did like an episodic review while it was coming out, I think season one and two. But yeah, oh man, that last episode was really good. And I don't know, are we getting two episodes tomorrow or one? I don't remember. But
I think it's still one.
It's just as good. It still hits just as good.
It's so
I don't want to spoil too much, but the fate of this fucking crew, I'm like, God damn, it's going to hurt.
You don't,
there's no way.
Yeah, that's
there's
the thing. No way we don't know alive. What's going to happen, but all we know is it's going to be painful in the best way.
I'm pretty damn sure. If they go away, like, oh, we made it, we're in the Outer Rim. I mean, I guess, but I feel like that's not been the tone of the show. And I just want to say,
party on the island.
The actor who plays Hemlock, his name is Jimmy Simpson, really great in Westworld.
He plays a scumbag, he's also the O'Poyle. So good.
He's the O'Poyles in Always Sunny in Philadelphia, one of them. he's fucking great as Hemlock. I was like, who the fuck is it? And I looked it up. It's like Jimmy Simpson. It's like, wait, I know that name. So fucking give that man his flowers. Holy shit, does he play a fucking like man of subterfuge and evil conniving, like scheming? Oh man, so well. Like it's convincing. It's like a calculated, like, oh man, I it's almost like Thrawn level calculation and scheming, almost. But yeah,
yeah,
still hella good. I could talk about it forever, but
I'm gonna be sad when it's done, even though we will have this show for like at least two more months.
But then we'll get X-Men 97.
Which, by the way, did you see that the
I did see
the lead writer producer fucking got fired?
Yeah, what the fuck was that about?
No reason. There's no, we don't know why.
I guess we'll hear the reason. And the fucking comments, oh my god, he was too woke. He was making X-Men too woke. And I just want to fucking...
Where'd her ass go, though? Where'd her ass go? Okay. It's not there!
Yeah.
What happened?
X-Men 97 and Bad Batch this year, we're fucking spoiled. And Godzilla.
By the way, for people that didn't realize that, I'm making fun of all these stupid motherfuckers that are complaining that Rogue does not have a dumpy.
Dude, she's not the only one. Someone showed like a side-by-side of like Psylocke, Rogue, Jean Grey, drawn a certain way. What the fuck? I didn't think about it as a kid, but it's like, oh, damn. Yeah.
That was the 90s for you.
Yeah, I sent a reverse image to our group chat. It said Apocalypse hella thick and Rogue standing over him. It's in our group chat. You could probably look it up. But yeah, Bad Batch is, oh man. That last episode was cool. And man, oh man, I can't wait to see how they tie up some loose ends. And of course, tie it into the sequels, which they've been doing very well. They're answering so many questions, and yeah, they're building up to be very cool. Like they did with Clone Wars, doing the same thing with Bad Batch.
I'm still holding out hopes. So spoilers for anybody that hasn't seen season two, you know, you can just kind of click off now. This is a warning. I'm really interested to see the actual result, what happened to Tech. I know they're going to hold on to that for so long, but I can't wait to.
Ryan, we saw him. That was
something. We didn't see the final result. I want to see the final result.
It's actually Cody brainwashed as Tech.
It's reverse fives.
Oh god.
instead of the arm is the leg.
Oh god. Oh man. Yeah, that will be an interesting reveal. Yeah.
I can't wait, dude. Like I'm so glad that they're not rushing it and they're just giving the time the story needs in order to just kind of just come to the conclusion that's natural and that feels really good. And we're all probably going to cry and we're going to get emotional. And then I'll probably want to buy all the faction figures of the Bad Batch.
Before you should buy them now before everyone decides to buy them on that finale.
That's probably true.
Can't wait. Don't fucking be cowards anymore. Put the Bad Batch with Cal or vice versa. Let's fucking go. Put Turgle in there. Let's fucking go, Disney. Let's fucking go.
Break him free.
Break Turgle free.
And then I release them from their EA chains. Let EA break free. Let Cameron Monahan play him live action. God damn it.
He said he would do it in an interview if it was meaningful. It has to mean good. Something, he said. Which I feel like is a cop-out answer. So hopefully we see him soon. But yeah, I would appreciate if it was meaningful too.
Can only hope.
Yeah, man. Bad Batch. New episode tomorrow. Well, I guess, depending on when you're watching this. 3:13.
Oh. All right. Enough of that. I think we can wrap it up for this episode of United We Nerd. Remember, March 23rd, Saturday, 1 p.m. Pacific, twitch.tv/UnitedWeNerd, right here. Putting my title on the line against Joel in Street Fighter 6, and I will beat him in Street Fighter 6. You damn better be sure.
I fucking win if I Zangief counter. That's all I'm saying. If I get one fucking Zangief counter, I don't care. I fucking win in my mind.
Bro, if I fucking get grabbed, I'm going to be destroyed. I need to figure out something right now.
You got to figure something else other than Ken. He's all Ken all the time. That's not true. Your Rashid's actually pretty good. I'll say.
Keep on nerding, y'all.